to is the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon ben Hassanel, who was described as a great Yarei Chet, was somebody who was very concerned when it came to Chet. And so we talked about how, you know, what exactly is the significance of that. You know, you would expect maybe something a little bit more from a Tana. So we noted that many of the Rishonim understand that he would make siyagim, boundaries, so that he wouldn't even come close to transgressing. Just like Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the one Tana before him, was described as a chassid, somebody went lefnim mishura sadin in mitzvah saseh. So Rabbi Shem ben Hassanel, so his calling card was a very significant concern about averus. So that zihirus is really something that you see at the very beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says about him, Rabbi Shimon Omer, he said three things, Hevi zohir b'kriyat shema uvitvila, that a person should be exceedingly careful about the mitzvah of kriyat shema, and according to some duschos, some versions of the Mishnah, tvila as well. Many of the Rishonim note this is a reference to zmanei kriyat shema, that a person can't miss the zman, b'shachbacha uvkumecha. In the morning, really, Kriyat Shema, as Rabbeinu Yonah notes, it should really be at Netzach Hama, that may be a bridge too far for some people, so we have until the end of the third hour. But be that as it may, a person has to be very careful about this. And with respect to Tefillah as well, especially in light of the next comment, Sha'atim Mispalo, when a person is davening, so a person really needs a particular mindset. Al Tas Tefillascha Keva. A person shouldn't have a sense that tefillah is a burden. Now, you wouldn't want to think about any mitzvah as a burden. So what's the special quality, the special focus, or the special motif when it comes to tefillah, of not relating to it as a burden? Ela rachamim v'sachanunim lifnei amakom shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yoel, ki chanun v'rachum hu erech apayim v'rav chesed v'nicham al hara'ah. So the Gemara many times refers to tefillah as rachamei ninhu, that tefillah in essence is an act of petitioning and even more beseeching the Almighty for compassion. And so when it comes to other mitzvahs, you wouldn't want to look at lulav or shofar or tzitzis or tefillin or the study of Torah as a burden, for sure. But when it comes to tefillah, to look at tefillah as a burden becomes what we would call a stira mineuve. It becomes intrinsically contradictory, because tefillah at its core is beseeching God for compassion. Tefillah rachamei ninhu, right? And that's part of the idea that the Rambam has, that women are obligated in tefillah on daraisa level, just as men are obligated in tefillah midaraisa. Women are not exempted. Women also, you know, have what to beseech God in terms of rachamei ninhu. And so that emerges from Rabbi Shimon's statement as well. And finally, you know, this is the part that I wanted to develop the most this evening. A person shouldn't be wicked in their own eyes. So Rashi says quite simply but powerfully, don't do things that you're going to look back at later and regret. And a person should be thoughtful and recognize, and just like we said at the beginning of the parak, that they have to be mechashev schar aveira keneged hefseda, that you have to take a look at whatever momentary gratification you'll get from an aveira, relative to the long-term sense of disappointment that a person will feel. So the Rambam comments differently. The Rambam has a different approach to this line altogether. Is alti rasha b'fnei atzmecha means that a person shouldn't think of themselves as a rasha. Because what happens then, quite naturally, is that a person gives up on themselves. They don't believe that they are capable of doing any better. And as the Rambam notes, that, you know, then even very grave sins don't seem so bad, because a person says, you know, who am I kidding? Now, the flip side of that is noted by Rabbeinu Yonah, based on the Gemara Masech the Nida, about the fetus is made to take a certain kind of an oath before he's born, according to this famous Agada that Chazal have, that if the entire world says you're a tzaddik, don't believe them. You should be a rasha. But when that means is, don't think in an excessive way too negatively about oneself, but also a person shouldn't think that they're perfect or even close to perfect, because that too leads to a form of complacency. So you want to hit this kind of a golden mean between despondency and spiritual despair on the one hand, and on the other hand, spiritual complacency. So the Rambam writes very extensively in Hilchos Tshuva that a person should always see himself as a Beinoni, as exactly 50-50. Because if you play that sort of mind game with yourself, and it is a little bit of a mind game, but if you play this mind game with yourself, you'll always say, the next minute is the most important minute of my life. Because the next minute is going to be the minute that I define whether I'm a tzaddik or a rasha. This next minute becomes so critical. You know, everything is hanging in the balance, right? That's why when you're a kid and you're playing in the backyard, it's always the ninth inning. There are always two outs. The bases are always loaded and the count is always full, right? Why? Because what you're trying to say is that the next moment is the defining moment, right? Nobody who grew up playing in the backyard say it's the sixth inning, it's 11-1, the starter's already been knocked out, they have the reliever in there to, you know, soak up. That's not the way that you should relate to it. You always dream about the big moment. And we all remember doing that as we were kids, right? And that's exactly the mentality that one has to bring to Avodas Hashem as well. So the Bartanura has one final comment that I think is very germane to our present experience. She says, "Al ti rasha, don't be wicked." In what sense of the term? Bifnei atzmecha, by isolating yourself and being unconcerned with the community. In other words, the issue of poresh min hatzibur. And this is something that is very, very much on our mind these days. Is that we know that our tradition preaches a kind of a communitarian approach. And we'd be in a much better place, obviously, in society overall, if people thought about things that way and didn't ask the question, what imposition is this going to put on me? But thought about how can I not only best protect myself, my family, but the entire community and the entire state, the entire country as well. And sort of the terrible failure in the broadest sense of our society, of our civilization, to think along those lines can be measured every single day in the horrific tolls that some people have become numb to. You know, it's, oh, okay, so another 1,000 people. They've done studies on these things. You know, they'll tar and feather me for saying it. But, you know, studies have come out of, you know, major academic medical centers that if 80% of, you know, the country wore masks in public places, you know, you'd see a dramatic reduction to the point of total elimination of the spread of the virus. Why? Because, you know, you'd have 99.9% of admissions cut down. But again, it's an imposition. So people say, you know, how can you impose this on me? Maybe legally you can't. But, you know, there's a limit to what you can get with law, you know, and morality isn't only determined by what's, you know, absolutely required. But that's why there's a notion of lifnim meshurat hadin and going beyond and doing the right thing, even if it's not exactly required. That's the whole essay the Ramban has. And v'asisa hayashar v'hatov, on doing the right thing because it's the right thing. The Torah didn't give you every single scenario. The Torah didn't say, you know, bizman shetia pandemic, you know, tilbash masecha. You know, there's no pasuk like that in the Torah, right? But in fact, you know, if you would think along the lines of asisa yashar v'atov, it would be a very natural thing to do. And that's, you know, something that of course, our tradition has prepared us for. I think the American tradition certainly at one point very much was built along those lines, a communitarian tradition, a strength of a community being so critical. And yet this has been a moment where we've had to rediscover that, and perhaps very much the hard way. But again, it's all there within the wellsprings of our tradition for us to be able to understand it for ourselves and hopefully to message it out in the broadest possible way.